Support for this podcast comes from the Fletcher School of Global Affairs at Tufts University. To start your future as a global changemaker, you must have context across fields like international business, cybersecurity, energy policy, and more. Don't just study global affairs, shape them. Visit fletcher.tufts.edu.
Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Deborah Becker. The latest scandal involving the Massachusetts State Police is playing out in a Framingham District Court courtroom today. The State Police former payroll director, Denise Ezekiel, has been released on personal recognizance and is due back in court in June. Ezekiel's charged with stealing more than $23,000 from the department while working as the head of payroll. She was put on indefinite leave from the Massachusetts State Police Department in November. Joining us on the line is Steve Brown, who was at her arraignment today. Hi there, Steve.
Yeah, hi, Deb.
So what did we learn at the arraignment?
Well, actually, not too much. It was the first time we've had a chance to see Denise Ezekiel. The arraignment lasted just a little more than a minute. She came in and she was out before we knew it. She was told that she has to be back in court on June 4th. She was released on personal recognizance. She was whisked out of the court by her lawyer. Neither she nor the lawyer spoke to reporters. She got in the back of a Jeep and went away. Incidentally, while she's not in custody, an undercover state police officer was there to escort her into the courthouse and kept the media away from her.
Hmm. And what was her demeanor like?
She really didn't look anyone in the eye. She looked a little distraught that all this attention was going on. But again, really no reaction out of her at all.
Any other state police there, state police brass there, or anyone else?
The only state police that I saw there that I recognized because of his name tag was the investigating officer who wrote up the report about these alleged thefts that were made between July of 2016 to October of 2017.
Hmm. Do we know essentially what happened here, Steve, in terms of how this came to light?
Sure. The police report indicates that she was the Massachusetts State Police Agency Director of Payroll. Investigators around November 1st of last year started looking into what they describe as a financial discrepancy. They looked at payroll records from July 2016 to October 2017. In those records, they found 29 separate entities that were labeled under travel and training, and they were all made directly to her account, according to this report. The amounts were ranging from $500 to $950. Again, 29 of them in all total came to $23,900. The investigators then looked at her bank records, saw that the money was deposited into her bank account. A state police investigator who was in the courtroom today interviewed her a while back, and Ezekiel in the report says Ezekiel acknowledged that she was not entitled to those reimbursements.
All right, WBUR reporter Steve Brown, who is at the arraignment today of a former state police payroll director who's now charged with larceny. Steve, thanks so much for being with us.
Thanks, Deb.
And today's arraignment is the latest in a string of state police controversies. There's an ongoing investigation after the head of the state police and other top officials retired amid allegations about an altered police report on the arrest of a judge's daughter. Another investigation is looking into troopers allegedly putting in for overtime for shifts they never worked. There's also the case of a trooper who was suspended after it was revealed that she did not disclose that she had testified in a drug case, and state police pay. Some of it was never properly reported to the state comptroller. Last week, State Senate President Harriet Chandler issued a statement saying that the legislature will take action and look at policy changes. Well, joining us to talk about that is State Senator William Brownsberger. He's on the legislature's Public Safety and Homeland Security Committee. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
Also, listeners, we want to hear from you. What should be done to reform the state police? What about these multiple scandals? Is the governor doing a good job? You can call us at 800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. You can also send us a tweet at Radio Boston. Senator Brownsberger, let's begin. What do you make of these criminal charges against the former payroll director of the state police?
That sounds like a classic kind of inside embezzlement kind of situation.
But in terms of the latest in a puzzle, right, if we look at it as a puzzle, and this latest piece shows a picture of really a lack of oversight on the part of the state police department, would you say that that's what's going on?
Clearly, you've got a whole bunch of bad things coming out one after another, and that certainly adds up to a very troubling picture.
Right. So what do you, as a member of the legislature, we heard that Harriet Chandler would like the legislature to take action. What do you think you could do as a state lawmaker to assure the public that this troubling picture might get better?
So I think it's a step-by-step thing. You know, you've got – this is – state police works for the governor, and to his credit, he has said, look, this one's on me. This is – I'm responsible for this. Mm-hmm. These people work for me, and he hasn't shrunk at all from taking a whole host of measures to break up the couple of troops where it appears that there's – you know, there have been some real endemic problems, and to – bring in auditors and to try to understand what's been going on and to identify additional problems, and they've been taking action. So I think what we have to do is let that play through a little bit. We certainly can't be conducting hearings into events that, you know, are the subject of criminal investigations. You also have the Attorney General looking at things. You have the state auditor looking at things. So the legislature is – so there's – particular events that happen, and those add up to a picture, and there's going to be a management response to that picture, and we'll see how that looks and how the picture changes. And then there's a real question as to whether there are some policy changes that we may need to make. I think one of the interesting things to recognize is that a lot of the things that the governor is talking about in terms of reorganizing things are things that he may find the needs to work with the unions to accomplish. There's a lot of collective bargaining agreements that have evolved over the years that deal rather specifically with how these different troops are managed. So I think one of the we'll see how far he's able to get, and we'll see what kind of support he needs from the legislature in order to really clean things up.
We should say that we did reach out to the State Police Association, and we got a couple of comments. One, the president of the association has said that this was really a problem of bad apples at the State Police. There were a few people that took advantage of different situations. It's not a systemic problem. It really was just focused on a couple of people. And another statement that the State Police Association issued said, we believe that the customs and culture that were allowed to flourish under the previous state police leadership has compromised the public's perception. So it was really a leadership problem. And as we know, when the allegations about the alteration of the report involving the judge's daughter came out, State Police Colonel Richard McCune did retire, and now we have a new head of the State Police. I mean, is that one way that perhaps things might improve? What do you think of that sort of defense from the State Police Association?
Well, I think we're going to, I think a lot's going to come out. This is going to continue to develop, right? We have investigations going on. We're going to keep learning more. You know, there's been a series of incidents. It goes beyond just a few bad apples. That kind of narrative probably doesn't wash. I do think that most state police officers, go in for service and have the right motivation. And, some of the state police officers I know are some of the finest individuals I've ever met. So you don't want to tar the whole body by any means. But you do have to ask a question of whether certain things have come to be tolerated and, the bad apples have been given too much room, and maybe that's infected a few other people. And so, I think it's a little more than a few bad apples.
Well, what about the salaries? A lot of people are gasping at these salaries. I mean, $200,000 to $300,000, for folks, and it also sort of the level at which someone progresses in terms of salary seems to be higher than most other fields. I mean,
when we're talking salaries, we're talking salaries plus overtime.
Salaries plus overtime, that
huge overtime opportunity, which some guys are going to take advantage of, and I think you have to worry about that because people need sleep in order to function properly. And you got guys that are drinking a whole lot of coffee working ridiculous hours, but with their base job and then doing, every single detail they can find. And then the dangerous thing is that sometimes people get dependent on that level. They take out mortgages that are, driven by that level of compensation. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the things we're going to have to – there's a lot of economic rigidity that gets built into these arrangements, so it's going to be harder to change than we might hope. But we clearly there's some changes that need to be made.
And is the legislature the body that needs to help make those changes? I mean, I know you mentioned the governor and negotiating these contracts, but I'm just wondering, what's the legislative role here? What do you think your role is?
Well, the legislature sets policy. It sets and can define structures that interact with the collective bargaining structures, you know, how different troops are laid out. We can do that. But really, this is in the first instance, not necessarily the last instance, but in the first instance, the first steps have to come from management. And so I think it would be premature for the legislature to engage in investigative hearings about this. You've got criminal investigations going on. You've also got a whole lot of management movement going on. But I clearly, you know, as the Senate president has said, as the speaker has said, we also feel a sense of responsibility here and want to make sure that to the extent structural changes, legal changes are required, we're going to make those changes. But I don't think we know what those changes are yet.
I want to remind listeners that we do want to hear from you. We'd like to hear your opinions about what's happening. It seems like we get a weekly sort of controversy from the Massachusetts State Police. What should be done? We're in the studio right now with Senator William Brownsberger. Our number is 800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. You can also send us a tweet at Radio Boston. Dave is calling from Brockton. Dave, you're on the air.
Hi. My only question is, who is responsible, and it sounds to me like the governor's office, but maybe not, for negotiating the contracts with the state police union, and then how often is the contract up? Because a lot of these things, while they might seem unseemly, have been negotiated and are legal. I mean, not obviously fudging time cards and those type of things, but for the pay at the airport, those were all negotiated. Perhaps we need to focus on that and the negotiations that are giving away too many perks or making it too easy to make all these large sums.
Okay, Dave.
So who's responsible for making those negotiations?
Okay, let's ask Senator Brownsberger.
No, that's a critical, that's the right question to be asking, of course, and that is the administration, the Secretary of Public Safety, the police colonel, and ultimately the governor. You know, they negotiate those things, and those have been negotiated over years. And as you say, by the way, one of the interesting things here to observe, and this goes to that question of whether there's some structural things we want to really be clear about. You know, the troops that have had the biggest questions raised are Troops E and Troop F. Mm. Troop E being the Turnpike troop, and Troop F being the Massport troop. In both cases, those are sort of specially compensated groups. I mean, specially funded groups, paid by for a while from MassDOT funds as the Turnpike, and from Massport funds for Troop F. So that creates an environment, I think, where the accountability is a little bit diluted, and that's, I think, one of the things we need to look at. And clearly, that's one of the things the governor is looking at. I mean, he's broken up Troop E, reallocated resources to local troops.
So you think that sort of funding difference could have been the reason why there maybe oversight may have slipped a little bit?
I think that's a question that I think that's worth asking.
Mm-hmm. I want to take another call here. Steve is calling from Barnstable. Steve, you're on the air.
Yeah, very briefly, let's just keep it straight. This is high-level corruption by our state police, and I expect more from the Senate. I expect more from Senate leadership. I don't expect them to come back and wait for another politician to agree what makes sense for them coming up with an election. We want action. Hmm. Hold their feet to the fire, or your feet will be held to the fire. Hmm. This is high-level corruption.
Okay, let's ask Senator Brownsberger. Senator Brownsberger, I mean, is it the legislature's responsibility to do this, to take care of this, and make sure that oversight is better, and as we said, the picture does improve.
Well, look, I agree, it is high level corruption. You have you have a governor of the Commonwealth who is responding to it. You have a Secretary of Public Safety whose integrity has not been questioned, and a new police leader whose integrity has not been questioned. They are making a lot of changes, and they're cleaning house. Whether that response is enough, I think we need to live into it. 30 days, 60 days. I don't have the answers yet.
Should we have an independent investigation, as the Massachusetts Democratic Party has called for, saying that that's the only way to make sure that this corruption would stop? I mean, does the state Senate want to see something like that?
I can't speak for the whole Senate. I don't want to speak for the whole Senate. Mm-hmm. I think, but what's clear is that the Speaker of the House and the Senate President have both said, yeah, we do bear a responsibility for this, and we certainly accept that responsibility. But I think step one, it's great to say there's a problem, and there is clearly a problem. And we're going to, but I think the first couple of steps are on the ground with the executive branch, and that as that develops, we will further respond.
I want to get someone else on the air here. Pat is calling from Fall River. Pat, you're on the air.
Hello. Yes. I'm listening to your discussion, the allegations against these state police officers. What about their management? This happened over a period of months, maybe even years. Hmm. Why hasn't anybody ever brought up how the supervisors and management officials that are supposed to provide oversight, why aren't they spoken about?
Well, go ahead.
You know what? I think that's a really important point to underline here. And, you know, you have an organization which actually has a provision, which I believe it's a provision of state law or whether it's a contract, that the chief executive has to come up through the ranks. Now, that is a little bit of a dangerous thing because that means that the chief executive has a whole lot of alliances inside the organization. Hopefully, the governor has succeeded in finding a chief executive that has a level of independence and the readiness to take names and do what needs to be done. But we'll have to see that. I think that's one of the interesting questions about what we might need to change here, because that is a very fundamental issue to say the management comes up out of the ranks and can't come from the outside. That, you know, in other organizations, I mean, I have experience previously on the Board of Selectmen managing the police department in Belmont, which is a much smaller thing, of course, but there was an analogy there. It was a police department in which the only way somebody could get hired was basically to come up through the civil service system within the department. So taking the police chief out of that role, you know, did prove to be something that was very healthy. And that might be part of what needs to be done here.
I want to bring someone into the conversation who has studied some things like this. Tom Nolan is a former Boston police officer. He's also an associate professor of criminology and criminal justice at Merrimack College. Thanks for being with us, Mr. Nolan.
You're welcome.
So in terms of solid recommendations, if you could give two, how could we improve the picture for the Massachusetts State Police?
Well, I think given the history of what's gone on over the last several months and the numbers of different kinds of instances of mismanagement and what's arguably borders on the level of corruption, I think it may be time for the legislature, and I just listened to what the senator said, but they might want to consider, and I think this is a model that has proven to be workable in other agencies, other police departments, where they have a civilian office of police accountability and oversight. So the legislature has the authority to establish an agency where, and this would be indicated in agencies that have failed to successfully internally investigate themselves and police themselves, and this model exists in Chicago, in New York City, in Washington.
For state police, not an urban department, but the actual entire state police force?
I don't know of any state police agency, but I also don't know of any state police agency that has this level of institutional mismanagement. So it may be indicated that in this situation, at the very least, there needs to be a mechanism in the internal investigative apparatus that does financial auditing. In this situation, I would urge the legislature to consider the establishment of an outside agency to monitor the Massachusetts State Police. I don't think it's completely off the charts to consider that, given the level of what we've seen in mismanagement and arguably corruption in two of the most conspicuous troops in the Massachusetts State Police, Troop E and Troop F.
Okay. Let's ask Senator Brownsburg about that. So a civilian office of oversight or some sort of investigation and more financial auditing. And we've only got about a minute or so for you to respond, Senator.
Well, yeah, no, that's a legit idea. And is that, you know, but we also have other agencies. You know, you have the Inspector General. We have the State Auditor. Of course, we have the Attorney General. So there are roles that we could create within existing groups to provide some oversight. A new oversight board may or may not make sense, but that's definitely an idea that we ought to ought to consider carefully.
Mm-hmm. So do you think that we'll hear about these proposals soon before the legislature, or do you think it is going, as you mentioned at the beginning, you're not going to take up anything or certainly hold hearings when there's
I think there's going to be some ideas proposed very quickly, but I think there are some ideas already floating around, but I do think that it's going to take a little bit of time before we bring those ideas all the way to the top and tee them up for real action.
Okay, State Senator William Brownsberger is chair of the Senate Judiciary Committee. He's also on the Public Safety and Homeland Security Committee. Thanks so much for being with us today.
Thank you for having me.
Stay with us. Coming up, the author and scientist behind the book, The Neuroscientist Who Lost Her Mind. I'm Deborah Becker, and this is Radio Boston.